Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
NBA analyst Kenny Smith made waves this week when he not only ranked LeBron outside of his top five of all time, but he said that LeBron is ranked 10th. Kenny attributed it to how scoring is now easier and it's hard to evaluate today's game against the previous greats. So Shannon, are you surprised that Kenny ranked LeBron so low?
He finds it hard to evaluate current players against the greats of the past, but somehow he did it. I don't know how he's able to do that, Skip. He found it very hard. You know, Skip, I don't think there's a fan or a expert that says LeBron James is currently the 10th best player all time in the history of the NBA. I just find that very hard to believe. A guy that's tied for the fourth most MVPs, the second most final MVPs, the third most All-Star games, the most All-NBA, the most NBA first team, six-time defensive player, six all-defensive teams. And Kenny mentioned his, you know, his podcast. He got Kareem, MJ, Oscar, Bill Russell, Wilt, Shaq, Magic Bird, all in his top 10. But LeBron is the 10th best player of that group. He's talking about, well, it's easier to score. Is that all LeBron does? LeBron rebounds. He assists the ball. And he's like, well, any of those players, Shaq played in that era. Shaq didn't go to 8 straight finals, and he had Kobe. So when he had a guy that you mentioned, and there's two of those guys together that you got, and they don't go to 8 straight finals, what's going on? I need to know why. Magic, you got Magic and Kareem. There are two guys on that team that you got in your top 10, and they didn't go to 10 straight. I mean, 8 straight. They only went to what, 3 straight? I think they went 85. No, they went 85 to 185. No, they went 80. Skip, 81, because Bird won, 82, 83, 84. So, Skip, the thing is, it's not that easy. What I see, Skip, and we talk about this a lot with football, if you played in an era, it's hard to let that era go and say another era is better. Skip, I played in the era. If you look at, I got like 8, 9, 10 guys on the 100th anniversary team, from LT to Reggie to Bruce Smith, Ray Lewis, Joe Montana, Elway, Marino, Rod Woodson, Ed Reed. So, Skip, I'm like, man, I'm feeling good. I don't know, ain't nobody. I don't care who, from Jim Brown's era to right now, ain't nobody. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, all of them I played against that era. So I'm saying, I got the best era ever. And I think that's what Kenny's holding on to. Kenny came up in the 80s. So it's hard for him to let Bird, Magic, Mike, it's hard for him to let that go. But the guys are better now. The guys are better athletes now. They do this full time. They take care of their bodies better now. They eat better now. They lift more now.
Yep.
Skip, it's just the athlete is just better. That's why you see the times and what guys are able to do. Man, it's, for LeBron James not to be but the 10th best player, I just want to see a general. I need somebody other than, because Kenny Smith is the same guy that said LeBron James is unathletic. First game of the season. Guy averaging 25, 10, and 8.
He said that Kawhi Leonard tonight made him look unathletic.
So one game. You base that on one game.
He did.
How did he look now? After he said that, how does he look right now?
Okay, but what had LeBron just done? What he had just witnessed? And he was there at the game. They were live at the game. What happened in the fourth quarter?
Any evaluators, any coaches, says if you only evaluate a player by one game, you'll make... Isn't that what you tell me about great players?
You know, the definition of television can be prisoner of moment. It's what we do.
No, I don't.
And he sat up there. Their perch was up there at the top in Staples Center in the first deck, you know. And he watched it. And remember, it's 85 all going to the fourth quarter. And LeBron ended up scoring 2 points. And his new partner scored 0 points. Anthony Davis scored 0. And Kawhi took the game over down the stretch. And they won pretty handily.
Expect fans, not guys that played the game at a high level, that follow the game, that study the game, not to become prisoner of the moment.
Okay, but what did we just watch? A whole season in which LeBron James went 29-28 as a starter for the Lakers the previous year, and we had the blooper tape that we showed, and he did start to look like age was catching up.
Well, the age isn't growing.
Huh?
Was it age or the groin?
I don't know, but it was one or both. But he did come back from the groin and didn't look much better than pre-groin.
Hashtag revenge season.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what he said.
Uh-huh.
Continues.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I actually, the last time we did an all-time top 10 ranking, I actually had LeBron 9th. So, I actually value LeBron a little bit more than Kenny Smith does. Allow me to say this about Kenny Smith. I've had him on shows before. I watch him almost religiously on TNT. Nobody can break down tape live on national TV any better than Kenny Smith can. I think he is a brilliant basketball analyst as far as X's and O's and breaking down game tape. And I believe that Kenny Smith knows what he is watching. And if he says LeBron ranks 10th, I respect that. Again, I have him
Oh, yeah, this is the opinion.
And again, to your point, I'm going to give you this because of the era Kenny played in. And he played at a fair... He wasn't a superstar. Right. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
And he played on championship teams. Yeah. So he gets it. He knows it. He played at the school you love and the tradition you love the most, North Carolina. And he was, again, not a star, but a very good player on both levels, college and pro. So... He's not just an analyst. He played, and I believe he really gets it. And so when I look at this list, there's no way to me, and I don't want to just beat this all to death again because we just went through The Last Dance, watching it on ESPN. But in just sheer killer will, LeBron does not have that Michael Jordan had.
Okay.
That's just me. So that separates those two. That's why I have Jordan number one. That's also why I have Kobe and Larry Bird, your favorite player as a kid, I have them in the two slots just ahead of LeBron on my list. I got Kobe 7, Larry Bird 8. And it's because of that thing, that killer will, that drive, that clutchness, that thing where that refused to lose. I think they had it stronger than LeBron has it. Not to say that LeBron isn't all-time gifted in so many ways, one of the great passers ever. A great scorer. He always says, I'm not a scorer. He can roll out of bed and get you 28 or 30 just pretty easily. It's almost like you watch the game, you say, he got 30? Wow. And yet, I have four centers ranked up in the middle of my list. I go Shaq, Kareem, Tim Duncan, and Bill Russell. And by the way, Tim Duncan was a center. I don't care what you call him, the greatest power forward. Yeah. He's 7 feet tall. I'm sorry, and he's long, and plays center.
Skip, I think if David Robinson hadn't been there, they would have referred to him as a center. But
he was there for a minute, and then Tim Duncan was there for a long time.
Well, he won two championships with
No, I got it. Yeah. But once Tim took over the team,
he played the five.
The five, and so I can't do best power forward ever. No, he's the five. So I have those in a row, and then that leaves my number two position. Just in winners intangibles, there's never been anything like Magic Johnson to me. So that's why I have him in the two slot. So then we look at the flip side of this. And again, I don't want to just pound on this day and night here on the show. But LeBron has had way more epic fails, in my view, than any of these players ranked above him on this list suffered in their careers. Because, again... He did get swept by the Spurs. You could say they have three Hall of Famers, but this was the best player on the planet. He got swept by the Spurs. And then 2009 came, and he hit the shot heard round the world in game two at home against Orlando and Dwight Howard. And then he ends up losing games 4, 5, and 6. And then the next year, Boston. Here we go again in the playoffs, and he has one of the greatest games of his career in game 3 at Boston, and then he winds up losing 4, 5, and 6, and his owner accuses him of quitting in those games, and some of his insiders from his camp leaked the story that he had to be sedated before each of those games because of an internal team issue. Okay, which leads us to the decision. I'm taking my talents to South Beach, and his first finals with the Heat, 2011, against Dallas. They go up 2-1 at Dallas, and reportedly, LeBron went back to his hotel room and started making a list of, I'm going to tell these people so. And according to the reports, I was at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And then he shrank. Games 4, 5, and 6. I thought he melted down in the way I'd never seen a superstar just melt down, just freeze up. And the first game was pathetic. He scored 8 points in game 4. And it didn't get much better from that point on. And we all agreed, I think, boy, chosen one became the frozen one. OK, Okay, these are epic fails, and then they break through against the Thunder, and LeBron was very, he's the MVP, way to go. It's about damn time, he said after that game. But then if Ray Allen doesn't hit the greatest clutch shot I've ever seen, they lose that game and that championship. But again, LeBron was coming apart down the stretch. He had three turnovers in the last 3 minutes and two in the last 1 minute.
But they were down. But Skip, okay.
I know he did good things also. Yeah, yeah. But there was some epic fail going on.
But you mentioned that LeBron got swept, and he's gotten swept twice. Did you know Magic and Kareem got swept in 83? Magic got swept again by Detroit. Kareem got swept.
Okay, but when Magic got swept, he pulled his hamstring, and Byron pulled his hamstring in game number one.
Well, how was his hamstring in 83 when Moses Malone swept him, him and Kareem?
Okay. All right. That's fair.
And what happens if Magic doesn't hit that baby hook? Now all of a sudden.
Okay, but he hit it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Byron hit
But he hit it. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. But you remember in 84 what happened when Magic dribbled out the time?
He did.
And they didn't call it?
Tragic Johnson.
Oh, would you consider that an epic fail?
Yep, I could. But did he not right the wrong against Larry Bird?
Oh,
did he not beat him three times in finals?
Y'all up.
Yeah.
Did he right the wrong against the Thunder? Did he right the wrong against Tim Duncan? Did he right the wrong against the
Thunder? I don't know if he did. But then what happened in 2014? They get blown off the floor by a record finals margin. And remember game one? He cramps. Nobody else cramped except LeBron James.
I mean,
he scores 2 points in the fourth quarter. You realize they're up four in game one going to the fourth quarter at San Antonio, and he cramps.
Well, that lets you know.
Huh?
He was a guy, right?
Okay. And then what happened in game one 2018 at Oakland? He has the greatest shooting night of his career that he refuses to shoot the last shot. He's got Steph on him and won't just pull up and shoot an 18-foot
shot. Skip.
Okay, but it's just what you have to do. It's what everybody does if you're that guy.
No, you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what he is. He's not a just pull the ball up from 18 and shoot over the top of somebody.
So then JR, obviously, first George Hill misses the second free throw. JR loses his mind and his place and where he is. And LeBron goes over and pouts on the bench. And that's not a top 10 move. You can't pout. You're tied at Oakland in game one going to overtime, and he quit. For the first half of overtime, he didn't score a field goal in overtime. He wouldn't even take a shot for two and a half minutes.
But the thing is, people don't realize that Kareem and Oscar played together, and the Celtics beat him. Shaq and Kobe played together against a team.
Kareem and Oscar won a championship together, and Oscar was on his last leg.
Shaq and Kobe played together and got beat by a team with no Hall of Famers, which would be the equivalent of the Mavericks. But the Mavericks got a Hall of Famer in first ballot in Dirk and Jason Kidd.
No, I'll give you. The Mavericks were very good that year. They had swept Kobe and the Lakers.
And they beat the Thunder.
They beat the Thunder. They beat them handily.
But hold on.
Okay, I got it.
But we're talking about
the GOAT, according to you.
What I'm talking about is Kenny Smith list that he got Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe, arguably the greatest duo ever. They got B4, a gentleman's sweep, by a team that had no Hall of Famers.
Okay, but they also won three together in which they just crushed the field. Just dominated the field.
Well, the field was them with San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Once they got past San Antonio, nobody was going to beat them in the finals coming out of the East. Because I thought the East was the Eastern Conference.
Well, it was.
Oh, it was not the Eastern Conference as long as Shaq and Kobe winning titles.
No.
But when LeBron won titles, it's the Eastern Conference.
Okay, but I give you that. But they dominated the West. They dominated the West. They crushed everybody in the West. It wasn't a fair fight between Robinson Duncan and Shaquille O'Neal.
I remember when the West was the East in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lakers was going to 9 finals in 12 years, when they had the Supersonics, and they had Utah, and they had Dallas Maverick, and they had Sacramento, they had all those teams. And I didn't hear anybody say, oh, Magic got cakewalks. Magic got cakewalks. When you got the Boston Celtics, you got the Detroit Pistons, you got the 76ers, you got the Bucks. That was the conference, but nobody said a thing. It wasn't until LeBron James started going to these things on the red. Now, all of a sudden, it's the Eastern Conference. Nobody said the left is the West.
Shannon, the baby Raptors?
No, I don't do that.
The baby dinosaurs?
Baby dinosaurs, we did it to them.
It was just like an embarrassment.
We did it to them.
DeMar DeRozan?
The number one seed.
Come on.
What LeBron tell y'all? LeBron said, number one seed, 8 seed, 4 seed, mustard seed, don't matter. Have faith. Plant men have faith. What the Bible says, if you go to church, read the Bible, he said, if you got the faith of a mustard seed, LeBron said, I'm a mustard seed. Play me that and watch me grow to the finals.
That's the first time LeBron has ever been compared to a mustard seed.
These rankings and these lists just add fuel to LeBron's fire.
Yeah. Oh,
way to go, Kenny.
I love it.
Okay. No mercy.
NBA champion and a regular contributor on this show, Steven Jackson, is receiving a lot of criticism after he defended DeSean Jackson for retweeting an anti-Semitic quote that was attributed to Adolf Hitler. Jackson said that DeSean was, quote, speaking the truth. Last night, in an interview with CNN, Jackson said he could have been more clear about what he was defending DeSean Jackson about. So, Shannon, when you spoke to Steven yesterday, what was your takeaway from that phone call?
I agree with his final point last night on CNN, Skip, that he could have had provided clarity on what he was doubling down on.
Mm-hmm.
As I told him yesterday, D-Jack was wrong, you're wrong, and when you double down on a wrong, you're wrong twice. I said all you had to do was, what are you supporting D-Jack on? Which was the uplifting, the empowerment of the black community. Boom, we're done. That's what I support D-Jack on. No harm, no foul. But when you double down on everything, he's telling the truth. Everything D-Jack said is the truth. So in other words, you're co-signing. Remember, Skip, it's like a retweet. So in other words, you're co-signing everything he said. No, because everything that he said, what D-Jack said, wasn't right. Mm. If the hatred that we're trying to get rid of is the hatred that all of a sudden you're agreeing with. Nah, that ain't how we do it, Stacks. Mm. I say, Stacks, you're in a great place right now. You're the voice. I said, and people will try to discredit you. People don't want to believe in you simply for the fact of your past. Because it's not like when it's like, and I mentioned earlier, Skip, it's like Dr. King. Dr. King grew up in the church. His father was a pastor. He grew up. Malcolm X, you know, Red, I think they called him Red. And he was a pimp and he went to prison and he did. They're like, why am I now all of a sudden we supposed to follow you? I say, Stack, because of your background. People are going to look to disqualify you. They're going to look to discredit you. Don't you give them ammunition. Your voice is too powerful in our community now.
It is.
We need you now.
Mm-hmm, you
we don't need missteps. We need allies. That community, the Jewish community, can be an ally. We don't need adversaries. I say, Stack, you never played pickup. And I ask him, hey, you going to the game, how many times you stop and play somebody in a one-on-one? Like, never. I say, see? We going to the game. We ain't trying to fight nobody along the way.
Mm.
So, and that was my only point with him, Skip, is that I needed him to understand. And I say, Stacks, we're gonna have to read even more than ever, because when you do these interviews, people are going to try to call you, and you're going to have to be able to call their bluff.
Yep.
Because when they call me to the carpet, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I have my carpenter girl, Skip. You know, I'm built for this.
Mm.
So you just have to understand. People are going to try to trip you up. People are going to try to, you know, make you look bad. Don't fall into their traps. But don't you set traps for yourself.
Yep.
And get caught in it.
Mm. Very well said. So, you know Steven Jackson.
Know him.
I have come to know Steven Jackson pretty well. We've had him on the show a lot. I've spent some time around him off camera after shows. I'm going to stake my reputation on this. Steven Jackson is a good man with a good heart.
Absolutely.
Until Memorial Day, Steven Jackson was just trying to make his way into a second career as a basketball commentator / analyst.
Mm-hmm.
And he has started a very successful podcast with Matt Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done some work at ESPN and some work here. And he's good at it. And he's getting better at it.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not yet qualified to be a leading spokesman for Black Lives Matter movement,
mm-hmm.
because he got tapped on the shoulder the day after Memorial Day,
right.
because he has known George Floyd from days when he was in Port Arthur. George Floyd was growing up in Houston. And they considered themselves twins because they look so much alike, to the point that they kidded each other, do we have the same daddy? And because of that connection, and because of the murder of George Floyd, and because of the most evil video I've ever watched over and over and over again, a horror movie come to life, the murder of George Floyd by a white cop, knee on neck, for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Mm-hmm. The world stopped. And a lot of white people, for the first time, opened their eyes and their minds and said, man, that can't happen again.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I'm watching protests featuring as many white people, most of them younger white people, mm-hmm. as black people.
Right.
Ah, this is a new day. Maybe we got a chance. Maybe.
Right.
Flashpoint moment, maybe even a watershed moment that swept up Steven Jackson into the vortex of it because he was the twin of George Floyd. And all of a sudden, he went to Minneapolis and found himself actually standing in for George Floyd in interviews as if he became the living George Floyd, the embodiment of George because they look so much alike. The family embraced him. The city embraced him. And he must have spent about a month in Minneapolis in the hotel there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke. That's the first time I ever see him speak in public at a rally. Boy, he
right.
He made me sit back and take notice, man.
Right.
It was potent. Mm-hmm. It was powerful. It was Shannon Sharp-esque. And I said, this man has talent for this.
Right.
This man could do a lot of good as a very powerful voice, as an ex-NBA player, obviously, with some cachet for Black Lives Matter. And I think it shocked him because he'd never considered this would be his calling. He got tapped on the shoulder by a higher force,
right.
by a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you. I choose you to do this.
Right.
And he's 42 years of age, and it's all new to him, so he's learning on the fly. And all of a sudden, he's doing interviews on Good Morning America, Today Show, mm-hmm. CNN,
mm-hmm.
not sports shows,
right.
national TV shows. He's speaking about a movement that he loves with all his heart and soul. We've seen that again and again
right.
here because we know him.
Right.
But he'd never been thrust into a leadership
right.
position, a
right.
spokesman position.
This public speaking is new to him.
No.
Skip, we got called. I remember when we were growing up. And my grandfather would tell my brother and I before we left for church, one of you are praying today, one of you guys are leading the devotional service. I'll let you decide, guys decide on the way to church.
That's cool. Love that.
Well, okay, Skip. Now, are you going to read a hymn?
Mm-hmm.
Skip, I'm not even big enough to put it like the grown people come up there and they put their nose down there what they want to read. Mm-hmm. I can't even reach up there to put it up there. I'm so small.
Nope.
So I got started early. I mean, here's a 6-7-year-old kid that says, okay, you got to pray in front of church. And so I'm just going, Skip, I'm mimicking what I've heard the older men pray. I get down on and put one knee up, Skip.
That's all right.
I feel like I'm one of the 40, 50-year-old deacons that's leading. And I'm like, that was my, and so my brother and I, we got no problem. My sister won't no part of public speaking. Mm-hmm. She won't no part of the public. But that's not her. That's us. We've been doing it so long. Stacks got thrust.
But remember, you got some preacher in you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do.
You do?
I do, Skip.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Burns, who our mm-hmm. pastor, he told my grandmother, he says, I know that boy is good in sports,
mm-hmm.
but I believe he'll make a better pastor than a football player.
I'll co-sign that one.
But, Skip, and that's what I tell, I say, Stacks, in the position that you're in now, you have to be extra careful.
Mm-hmm.
And the analogy that I like to use a lot, I say, you measure 10 times
mm-hmm.
and cut once.
Yep.
Not cut 10 times because you measured once. So every step needs to be methodical. Every
yep.
word need to be deliberate, concise, with meaning, with purpose. There can be no slip-ups because people are looking to discredit mm-hmm. you. They're
yep.
looking to discredit this movement.
I agree. So what is Steven Jackson's middle name? It's Jesse. Mm-hmm. Steven Jesse Jackson. And I think Steven sat back and said, well, maybe there was a reason for this.
Yeah.
And he took it very seriously, deeply personally. He became a zealot mm-hmm. for Black Lives
right.
Matter. And he's speaking, and he's thriving, and he's growing, but he's not yet quite qualified.
Right.
He's not sure. All he knows is, by nature, he is a defender.
Right. I got to get justice for my brother. I got to get justice
correct.
For my twin.
Because, remember, when he was 16 years of age, he had a half-brother who was 23 who got jumped and beaten to death.
Right.
And Steven says to this day, I regret I was not there
right.
to defend him and fight for him.
Right.
So what happened that fateful night back in 2006 in Detroit, mm-hmm. early in that season, Indiana at Pistons, malice in the palace
right.
happened. Ron Artest lost it for a moment because a guy threw a cup full of Coke at him. Mm-hmm. And he said, you can't do that to me. Right. I'm a man. I'm coming after you.
Right.
And he goes up, what, 3-4 rows of the stands. Right. And all of a sudden, somebody flies out of the left side of my picture. It's Steven Jackson.
Right.
He's up in the stands ready to throw down on anybody because he's going to have the back of his teammate.
Right.
Which led to one of the greatest players in the history of this league, one of the great leaders, Tim Duncan, calling Steven Jackson, when he was a Spur, the ultimate teammate.
Right.
He was being, yesterday, the ultimate, it was actually 2 days ago when it started, he was being the ultimate teammate to DeSean Jackson, who is a friend of his, who called him to say, hey, this is going on right now. What should I do? And Steven said, I got to come to your defense. Well, the only way he knows to do it right now is social.
Right.
Go to social. Mm-hmm. Let me go to IG. Let me go to Twitter. Let me fight for you.
Right.
You cannot defend a fellow black man, a friend of yours, while continuing to offend a group of people, the Jewish people. You cannot do that.
Right.
So you have to think. You have to look before you leap. Because everything you've done up to this point hasn't been just good. It's been great.
Right.
And I believe you can continue to be great in that role. But you have to be smart enough to sit back for a moment, size up. What did you just say about you better measure?
Yeah, okay. 10 times. Cut once.
Okay. You better measure it 10 times before you jump, especially on social media, because once it's out there, you cannot get it back.
And one of the things that Stack's going to have to understand also is that you're going to have to know when to fight and when to go pull your friend back. Mm-hmm. Everything doesn't require you to go fight. Sometimes it requires you to bring your friend back because he rushed into a building to try and save a man that had already been saved. D-Jack said what he said. He had apologized and said what I was trying to say was about black empowerment, black uplift.
Yeah, right.
So he had apologized for his misstep.
He had.
Stack ran back into the house that a man had already been rescued. You didn't need to do that. And so you doubling down on something through emotion. And when you double down on something with emotion, Skip, you're wrong twice. As opposed to doubling down with facts, because facts, I'll be right every time I utter that. He was wrong this time, and I'm glad he cleared it up and said, I'm sorry, I didn't add more clarity to what I was trying to be supportive with D-Jack on. That was his mistake. But in the process, Skip, we don't have to stand on someone else for us to be seen. We don't need to stand on the shoulders of the Jewish community for us to be seen because we want them to be allies, not adversaries. And I said, Stack, think about it now. For the last couple of days, ain't nobody mentioned Black Lives Matter because we tried to put this fire out that we started that we didn't need to start.
You started it. You did.
So let's keep focused.
DeSean started it. And Steven Jackson poured a whole bunch of gasoline.
Right.
On it, and it just raged for the last 48 hours.
Right.
And Steven went so far yesterday as he tried to defend himself. This is where once it starts, you can't finish it.
Right.
You're not going to win this fight. He tried to fight on Twitter, live fight with followers as they responded. No, you're going to lose it. And it only got worse. You stepped out of bounds the first time. Then you fell out of bounds with comment after comment after comment.
Right.
You can't defend the Hitler part of it.
No.
Once Hitler is brought into the conversation, it's over.
Right.
And then I saw Steven yesterday say at one point to somebody on Twitter that he was responding to, I don't give an F about Hitler. Well, I don't think he does, actually, in the big picture of things. He said, I know he was cruel, and I don't support that. And I'm saying, Steven, cruel? That's as I told you earlier, that's like saying hell is kind of warm.
Right.
No. Hell is raging hot.
Yeah, the worst adjective that you can come up to describe a human being should be attached to Adolf Hitler.
He was
a guy's responsible for 6 to 10 million innocent lives.
He was a monster.
Yes.
He wanted to eradicate Jewish people from the face of the earth.
So there's no good that he could have ever uttered.
You can't. Once you say Hitler, it's over.
Right.
I know DeSean's point was I was trying to uplift. Well, if you read the quote, it's just disqualified. As soon as and it wasn't even a Hitler quote, but it's attributed to
Hitler. Right, but here's the thing, though, Skip. In the process of you trying to uplift somebody, you're trying to do down somebody else. So this is what you've done. You're like, but that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to do this. We're trying to uplift everybody. We're not trying to push anybody down so we can be seen.
Yeah.
We want to bring everybody up. And so if you're with this cause, for equality?
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. So then Stephen's pride raged and he posted a statement. Your race's pain doesn't hurt more than the next race's pain. We are also into Black Lives Matter right now because it's so important. It is a watershed moment.
Right.
And it's at top of mind, but it cannot be at the expense of the suffering of the Native Americans or the Jewish people. You can't rank suffering, historical suffering.
No.
It's all tragedy. Yeah. It's just tragedy. It's the inhumanity of man on man. It's indescribable tragedy. It's travesty.
Yeah, the way it works, everybody thinks their pain is worse.
Yes.
I mean, you got a toothache, I got a toothache. Nah, yours don't hurt worse than mine. Yep. Man, it feel like a drill is in my head.
Just don't go there. Stay on you.
The two things I want to do, there's not a whole lot of things I want to go see. But I want to go to the Black History Museum in D.C., and I want to go to the Jewish Museum, and I want to see.
Good for you.
Those are the two things that I want to see. Before I leave here, I'm going to those two places, and I'm taking a trip to Africa.
Okay.
Boy, yeah.
Good for you.
So I might need a little extra time in the next couple of years.
No mercy.
Over 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players were polled by ESPN to rank their top quarterbacks heading into the 2020 season. Patrick Mahomes came out on top of the list, and down at number 8 was Carson Wentz, followed by Dak Prescott at number 9. So, Shannon, did they get it right?
Oh, stop it. Just stop it.
Skip, we love to use the word on this show. We use this word a lot. We use context, and we use sample size. Mm. Now, Skip says, you know what? When they do this, 20 people and 30 people, that's a large sample size, right, Shannon? Right, LaShannon Sharp? You know, LaShannon. So I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. 50 is a large sample size when you're dealing with coaches, scouts, execs, and players. Would you agree that is a large sample size? That is enough sample size to concur that, you know what? They're pretty accurate.
Maybe.
I told you walking to him was best.
So he's one slot better.
No. I kept telling you this. I've been preaching this to you for 4 years. And finally, Skip is like, it's validation for me. It's validation. It's like, you know, you try to get something published. And after all, everybody told you, no, it's not worth anything. I don't want to read. Nobody wants to read this. And you get the people that say, you know what? I think you're onto something. Let me take a look at that. Mm. Let me just add a look. Boom. And there we go.
Mm.
And one of the things that they said is, what can he do, Skip? He can carry a team. Now, we saw Dak Prescott. No, don't look down. Look at that.
I didn't see that.
We saw Dak Prescott in 2017, Skip?
Mm-hmm.
When Zeke missed that little bit of time?
Yeah.
And what happened?
6 games. No good.
Now, my guy.
No left tackle.
We had that.
No protection.
We had no right tackle. Lane Johnson was gone. No left tackle. Big Jason Peters was hurt. And our receivers, D-Jack, gone. Alshon, gone. The third guy, gone. Aguilar. Who that was, Skip? And my guy still brought us home. Y'all had to win one game. You had Dak Prescott, the guy that you wanted to be ranked in front of, walking to him. Had your entire team. Think about it. You had Gallup. You had Coop. You had Zeke. You had a Pollard offensive line that's ranked 3rd in the NFL. You had that and could not win one game. My guy did it. So, Skip, I don't even want you want me to tell you. It's done. I don't want to hear it. We're not arguing. We're not debating this no more. It's over.
Oh, really? It's over. 8-9. It's over. So, I will give you this. Philly beat Dallas in the game, sink or swim, do or die, win or go home.
Yep.
End of year game. I give you that. Dak Prescott had a busted up shoulder. He could not practice all week, and he tried to go because he always goes because he's never missed a game. Unlike your guy, Carson Wentz, who is always beat up, always missing games. In fact, that led to the first playoff start of Carson Wentz's career. And what happened? He lasted 4 passes into the game.
He got speared.
He had completed 1 pass out of 4 for a grand total of 3 yards, and he got concussed, and he was gone again.
Did he get speared?
Yep. But some guys can take it, and some guys can't. Some guys are injury prone, and some guys, Dak Prescott, are not injury prone. They're just tough guys. Your guy had to watch Nick Foles win a Super Bowl over Tom Brady – with that talent that he had. It was Super Bowl talent. Yeah. It was a very talented team. Well, I don't know. Carson Wentz would he?
We might have scored 50 with walking to him.
Maybe not. He scored 41 without him.
Yeah.
Pretty great. So let's look back at he's getting such run, such play out of the end of the year when he took nobody. And yet Greg Ward Jr. is pretty good. Want him on my team. I'll take him. There would have been in that game in Philadelphia, I wish I'd had Greg Ward Jr. instead of Amari Cooper, quit on Dak Prescott again. He was running such half-hearted routes that Jason Garrett, of all vanilla coaches, said, you know what? I've seen enough of that guy. You're out. You come over here and stand by me. He yanked him from the game. And on the final drive of the game, when my man did overthrow Tavon Austin, what could have been the play of the game, could have been the tying play of the game, he missed it. He missed the throw, bad shoulder and all. But there was no Amari on the field for the whole last drive because he got yanked by the coach. Okay, so that's what my guy was up against. While your guy, this is the last four games of the year, he beat the Giants, the lowly Giants. It took overtime. He had a QBR in that game of 32. He was horrible for the first half of that game.
It was raining.
Yeah, he's horrible. Then they go to Washington. They barely win. It ended up 37-27, but they were down 27-24 with 26 seconds left, and he hit Greg Ward Jr. for a big touchdown. Okay, was it great? Was he great in that
yes.
game? He was decent, but then the Dallas game, he wasn't very good at QBR 64. And then they go up to New York. They get to play the Giants twice in the last four games, and he goes up to New York and has a QBR of 40, and they survive.
But, Skip, you've been telling me this whole time, when I tell you Brady wasn't good, you say he was great when he had to be. Mm. He wasn't great the entire game against the Rams, but you said that last drive, he goes bing, 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 and they get the touchdown. You say he's great in moments. Mm. My guy was great in moments. Mm. He was great when he needed to be. And I'm looking at the article that say mostly he was in the range of 7 to 12. Mm. So he could easily. And what did it say? Evaluated citing inconsistency, ball placement as core issues. And plus in big games, when they needed to have it, was the Saints a big game? Mm. Yep. Mm. Eagles at the end of the year, was that a big game? Yep. Mm. Was Minnesota a big game? Yes. What about Green Bay?
Minnesota.
What about New England?
Mm. And what about my man Shannon Sharpe saying, pay Dak his money? What about Shannon Sharpe saying, give him $40 million? What did you just say? He's not very good.
That is.
He came up small in all these big games. There were seven games that you were on the road to going down.
But Skip,
you gave him F's for seven games.
You don't mind me asking, look at all the guys that are there. Their contract, they got multiple years on the deal. Mm. Dak is the only one that's had to play his deal out. Here's a guy that's rookie, Skip, the guy coming off his rookie contract, made $2 million for two division titles, a playoff win, and a rookie of the year. And all the Cowboys paid him was $2 million. Now, I need back. Skip, we like the IRS. You know the IRS let you go as long as you can, and then they're looking at your bank account like, oh, yeah, now we got him. We can bankrupt him. Dak said, y'all, hey, I let y'all go. Y'all could have did this before. Now I want back pay. So you got to pay what you owe plus interest. Mm. And you know Uncle Sam want his money.
Okay. So nobody has defended, supported Dak Prescott any more than this guy over on this side of this table. And so I got to take great exception to a quote I read in the Dak breakdown.
What did he say?
Anonymous quote, AFC executive. Maybe he hadn't watched the guy.
No. What did he say? How did he do it? What did he say?
He, meaning Dak, will get paid as one of the best, but he's certainly not top five and marginal top 10. Well, I've ranked him 10th, 9th or 10th. Yeah. Great rookie season set the stage for him to hit another level that he never really was going to hit. The bar got set high, and I don't know if he can reach it. He hasn't thrown it well since 2016.
I disagree.
That's just wrong.
I disagree.
Come on.
Yeah, I disagree.
Let's just do 2018. After Amari arrived and he suddenly had a bona fide, legit number one receiver, and those are mostly home games there, so because when Amari started going on the road last year, we lost him, but in that stretch, over the last 10 games of 2018, Dak Prescott led the NFL in completions. So he hasn't thrown it well since 2016. He's thrown the heck out of it. Led the NFL in catchable passes, fourth in yardage, third in air distance. So there's no more dinking and dacking going on. He was bombs away. It was spectacular. Yet, coming off that stretch and that surge, as we went into 2019, the annual poll in the summertime before camp opened, NFL players, only players only, voting on top 100 in the NFL. Dak Prescott didn't even get voted into the top 100. So what does that tell you? This is pretty amazing. He even got voted up to 9 here among quarterbacks.
Well, I think the thing is, Skip, I disagree with what that the AFC executive or scout or whatever it was said, because I do believe Dak is a better quarterback than he was in his rookie season, although maybe the team. I think the thing is, Skip, is that back then that team was a heavily run first, a lot of play action. And but they're different now. Dak is asked to do more. He's thrown the ball better, and the yardage would indicate that. The touchdowns would indicate that. But they're a different team now. They put more on his plate now. And so it's easier for us to critique him. It was hard to critique him in 2016, Skip, because Zeke was going for 100 yards every game. And they was controlling the clock, like you said.
He literally averaged over 100 yards a game as a rookie.
And he only played 15, because remember the last game was in Philly, and he rested.
They did. Yep. Okay, so bottom line to this discussion, I believe that Dak Prescott is a more consistently accurate thrower of the football than your guy Carson Wentz is. And this does point out on ESPN that he's eclipsed 64% passing only once in 4 seasons. It's not great. And furthermore, under fire, under pressure, my guy does not flinch. Your guy goes deer in headlights occasionally and gets a little too revved up. I know he can make plays outside the pocket. They're both athletic. They're both big, strong.
Your guy is 64% because he's dinking and dacking it.
No, he's
the
not.
The first 2 to 3 years, he was dinking and dacking. Shore fishing, that's what we call it, Skip. No deep sea, no bombs.
He's an accurate thrower of the football. Your guy is here and there.
We catch marlin, you catch little perch.
Oh,
little
really?
Brim. Yeah, that's what you catch, yeah.
We caught division titles in 2016 and 2018.
Who got it now?
We caught whales.
Who the division champ now? Us.
By default.
Wear your T-shirt. No mercy.
Patrick Mahomes' mega extension for 10 years and nearly $500 million now puts him under contract for the next 12 seasons in Kansas City. And according to FoxBet, they have set the over-under at 1.5 for the number of Super Bowls that Mahomes will win over the next 12 years. So, Shannon, are you taking the over or under at 1.5 Super Bowls?
You put me 10 bands down there, I'm taking the over.
Really?
Yeah.
How much over?
I'm taking over.
Way up?
I'll have 2.5. I'm going to go 3. I'm going to say he'll win 3 titles.
3? The other day you said 2.
No, 2 plus 1. He already got 1.
Oh, 2
he already,
more.
Yeah!
Okay, well, but the over-under is what's going to happen the next 12 years.
I gave him 3 titles. He'll win 3.
3 in the next 12, so you're going up to 4. The other
2
day,
to 3. 2 to 3.
2 to 3.
I feel comfortable saying 3 to 4 titles.
Okay.
With 3 to 4 MVPs. And by year 12, he'll be the greatest. That what you thinking too, Skip?
I'm thinking Tom Brady went to 9 Super Bowls in 20 years and won 6 of them. Easily could have won 8 of them.
What if he goes 4-0 with 4 MVPs? Now we can talk about that. Because Skip, he's 24 years old. He's already the best player in the league. He has a long-term contract that gives them flexibility to keep players around him. His core around him are fairly young. Tyreek, 27, Hardman, 22, Watkins, 27. Kelsey's 30, offensive line intact, and he have a big red. Andy Reid said, I'm going to coach as long as he's on the contract. So let's just, Andy's 62, let's just give him conservatively, say, next 5 to 7 years. Oh, yeah. So, Skip, I don't see any reason why. I'm going to be gravely disappointed. It's July 9th. I'm going to be gravely disappointed by July 9th. Say 2025, if I ain't talking about a 2 to 3 time champion.
That will not get you in the GOAT conversation. The GOAT's 9 times with 6 wins.
Skip, you do understand. I say 2025.
Oh.
So I'm talking about 3 times it in. He go 3-0 with 3 league MVPs. We're going to have a serious discussion. He might not be in the driver's seat, but he in the catbird seat.
Really?
Which is a very favorable position for him to take over the driver's seat.
I think he might be in the trunk at that point. You know, this contract has become a runaway hype train. $500 million he got. And the harder I look at it, upon further review, it's much more team-friendly than player-friendly.
That's okay.
And I look at it and I think, Patrick, you could have just said, No, I'll wait. I'll play under the tag for the next 3 years. What if he just played under the tag? Mm-mm. He could have made twice as much money as he will make in the next three years.
Hold on. I thought it wasn't about money. I thought it was about championship. Mm-hmm. Now, when Tom Brady took this less money, you said it wasn't about money. It's about championship. Now he gives them flexibility because he got security, Skip, $50 million the first year. But he got security because theoretically he had this year, next year, plus three tags. Mm. So really, Kansas City didn't have to do anything until 2025. Mm.
But now I'm hearing Michael Jordan. He's going to become the Michael Jordan. He's positioned to become Michael Jordan over the next 12 years. But if you're saying he's just going to win two more in 12 years, that ain't Jordan.
I said two more in 5 years.
Yeah? 5 years?
Yeah, two more. In 2025, I'm going to be disappointed if he ain't got three.
Okay, but you said two over 12 years to get to three total.
No. I believe it's going to be three. I'm going three in the next 5 years.
And I'm going to remind everybody, he's very, very fortunate to have one. Because, wait a second. Late in the third quarter, they're down 20-10, and they're facing a big third and 12. And what did he do? Can we see that real quick? Third and 12. He drops back. Oh, this is the GOAT. The future guy. Wait, he threw it right to a 49er. That's no good.
The linebacker made a good play. He got up under the route. Okay. He read his eyes.
That's a really bad read and a bad throw. Off target and bad. Let's go to the next one. It's third and six, and you're still down 20-10 early in the fourth quarter. And this is just a little low and outside to Tyreek. That's a horrible throw by the soon-to-be GOAT, right?
So let me make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Mm. Tom Brady never had any bad throws.
No, but this guy was lucky. The next Tom Brady was the opponent in this game, Jimmy Garoppolo, and in the fourth quarter, he goes 3-for-11 for a grand total of 36, and he misses Emmanuel Sanders wide open at the goal line for what could have been the go-ahead touchdown with a minute and 30 seconds left. That's how lucky you were to survive this Super Bowl.
I mean, I would have set the title at 2.5. That's what I would have said. I would have said 2.5
title. Wow, that's a shocking increase.
Why don't
you put your money where your mouth is? Go to 5 or 6 or 7.
No, that's unnecessary.
Go Jordan.
No, that's unnecessary. All we're going to do is we're just going to keep stacking them. Because I feel the Broncos are going to sneak in there and get one of them.
No, okay. You don't seem real confident about this.
I like Drew Lock.
Yeah.
And I like
what I don't.
And then you're a hater.
I don't.
You're a hater.
I didn't like him before the draft. Good luck with him.
That's okay.
He ain't no lock.
We're going to challenge Kansas City for that division.
Oh, God. All right, guys. We are sticking with QBs because in ESPN's latest quarterback rankings for the 2020 season, Aaron Rodgers came in third overall behind Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Rodgers' highest rank he's earned from the 50 people surveyed was second, while the lowest, he was ranked 7th. So, Shannon, do you think it's too high, too low, or just right for Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, you know, validation gets called Validation Thursday. And we like validation. I mean, if you're a writer, if you write for a newspaper, the ultimate validation you can receive is a Pulitzer, right? Mm. If I were an actor, if I was in Hollywood, let me get an Oscar. You know, if I were a chef, your brother Rick, he's James Baird.
Mm-hmm. Got two of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, is that when they validate me what I've been telling you. Mm-hmm. Now, Skip Bayless tells me sample size. We need a large sample size. Dr. Fauci speaks sample size when he's talking about this epidemic that we're going through. 50 people, not just players, not just coaches, not just execs, not just scouts. It's a hodgepodge, it's a compilation of all of that.
Mm.
And they said Aaron Rodgers. Now, Skip Bayless, if some, will have you believe he stepped off a cliff. I said there's a lot of people that's going to want to step off that cliff with 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 4,000 yards, with a 13-3 record. Mm. I said, what other than Pat Mahomes, boy, wouldn't take that right now? Because he said, I'm going to walk in 4,500, 5,000 with 35, 40 touchdowns. Skip, I keep telling you this. He ain't going anywhere. He's still legit. I mean, let that skip. He was high as 2, and the lowest was 7. The lowest. Well, I mean, Skip, I mean, what more do you want me to tell you? I keep telling you. He's still that dude. He's still that guy. He still is.
This is simply about reputation. This is laughable. No, Aaron Rodgers third. Did anybody watch him? Did anybody study him? Yep. Remember, this league, all these executives are notorious for swinging and missing on picking quarterbacks.
Oh, my goodness.
I remind you, just let's go back to the 2018 draft. I told you Baker would go number one, and he did. And he struggled last year, but I don't think he'll struggle next year because he deserved the number one overall.
Okay.
And then next in line at number three is Sam Darnold. I told you, I don't love him. And now they're really questioning Sam Darnold. And I told you, Josh Rosen went 10. I told you, he can't play. He can't play, and I was right. I'm usually righter about these quarterbacks than this league traditionally is. No. It just swings and misses like crazy in the first round.
If you don't mind me asking, Skip, why is it that they're always wrong if they got Rodgers or they got somebody other than Brady in the top spot? You never say they got this wrong with Brady. Mm. You talk about what did you say?
With Brady's the GOAT. How can they get it wrong?
Skip, just because he has the most Super Bowl does not mean he's still the top player in the NFL.
Well, he's 43.
Okay, well, you say he's 43.
I think he's about to win an MVP. That's what's going to happen, and you're going to have to eat a whole bunch of chicken fried crow.
Let's see. Are they giving my homeboy the season off?
No.
Okay, what about Lamar?
I got my money on Brady.
Russ.
I like it. I like the narrative. I like the story. 43-year-old who gets pushed out the back door in New England, and down in Tampa, he's got weapons he never dreamed of in New England thanks to Belichick.
Coach Belichick ain't pushing him out the front door.
About Aaron Rodgers is what I kept telling you. For the last 4 years, his stats have steadily declined. His QBR has declined each of the last 4 years. And his completion percentage has declined each of the last 4 years, hitting bottom last year with a QBR of 54, which ranked 18th in the league, and a completion percentage that ranked 21st overall. And all I need for my validation, my Pulitzer over here, was won by Pro Football Focus. Just recently, they concluded, as they ranked the top 50 players in the league, that Aaron Rodgers no longer belongs in the top 50. And to justify that, they said it came down to Aaron or Deshaun, who gets the last quarterback spot, and they decided to go with Deshaun at number 47, the last quarterback picked in the top 50. And their reasoning was, while Rodgers certainly has the better and more extensive resume, it feels like two players are moving in the opposite directions right now. While Watson's star is on the rise, Rodgers has become even more evidently part of the problem in Green Bay. And his own team spent the offseason laying plans to minimize his role in 2020 and replace him beyond that, because whom did they take in the draft? They traded up to take Jordan Love, maybe the next Mahomes boy. And they took him to fast-track him to replace the guy who just got ranked third overall.
Third.
Ha, ha, ha. Is this a joke? Is this a parody?
But since you like to read, I'm going to read from the article when they're talking about the quarterback. When he's humming, he's still tier one, without question. One coordinator said, the things he can do, maybe outside of my homeboy, nobody else can do. Mm. That throw that he made to Tyreek Hill, my homeboy, Aaron Rodgers, as I told you, was the only other guy that could do that.
So the Packers are crazy because they're thinking Jordan Love can do things that Aaron Rodgers hasn't been able to dream of doing for the last 4 years.
Well, he's going
to
do the exact same thing Aaron Rodgers did for the first 3 years, sit on the bench. Because Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere. And you know what? If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I go in there and I'm going to say, you know what? I want out. I'm going to get him to the playoff this year, and I'm going to say, you know what? Y'all need to get me up out of here. Mm. See, since y'all want to draft a Jordan Love, I hope y'all love him because I'm deuces out.
Really? So I'm wondering, what did they watch in Aaron Rodgers? Because if you watch carefully Green Bay last year, you could not figure out how they were winning games. And I kept telling you that the real MVP was not Aaron Rodgers. It was Aaron Jones. He had a career year last year that he did not get enough credit for. He absolutely destroyed my team at Jerry World. That was an Aaron Jones game, not an Aaron Rodgers game.
Aaron Jones played really well. He had a lot of rushing touchdowns, Skip, but he was not even top 10 in rushing.
But he can catch it. Look at his catches.
Yes.
Go look at what he did on the road at Kansas City.
Who throwing him the ball?
The dink and dack balls that he carries for another 30 yards?
And in motion, in stride. So he doesn't have to break stride. And he had think about this. He had 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 4,000 yards, a 4,000-yard passing season. Mm. And Devontae missed 4 games.
Mm. He was doing just fine.
So that might be 30-4 with an extra, 500 to 600 yards? So 4,600, 30-4. Could I interest you in that?
Interesting. So Tom Brady has never gotten the credit he deserved because he went 199th overall. And Dak Prescott has never gotten the credit he deserved because he fell to 135th overall. That's how badly this league evaluates quarterbacks going into the draft. And once again, they have proven how badly they can evaluate quarterbacks now.
Tom Brady has never gotten the credit he deserved, and he's never gotten the blame that he deserved. So say it both ways, because you all you want to do last year is make it about the defense and make it about what he didn't have. But what about your guy? He's supposed to lift everybody up. He was supposed to be uplifting.
All I know is he pulled off a drive, speaking of Randy Moss, in the first Eli Super Bowl. He drove them 80 yards for a 5-yard touchdown pass to Randy Moss that put them ahead 14-10 with 2:42 to go. And Belichick's defense spit the bit again and allowed Eli to drive 83 yards for the winning touchdown. And Brady lost another game-winning drive Super Bowl he should have had.
Hold on. How you want me to get this man credit? He's the first unanimous MVP in history. His team is averaging 37 points a game. He gets 14. And you're going to say, oh, well, Brady did. No, he didn't. He was supposed to get me 37. He didn't do that.
So all I know is that Tom Brady, in another Super Bowl loss, threw for an all-time playoff record 505 yards and put up 33 points on a very good Philly defense and lost 41-33 because Belichick's defense, without Malcolm Butler, who got mysteriously benched for the whole game, gave up 41 to the backup quarterback of the Eagles.
You see what you did?
Wow.
You do what a lot of people do. I remember when Peyton Manning was throwing for all those yards and he was losing the game. And you, because I used to watch you on the other show talk about, it's not about stats, it's about championships, it's about playoff games. Now, all of a sudden, Tom Brady doesn't have a defense. Now, look at that, what happened. That's what other quarterbacks have been saying since the beginning of time. I can do what I do, but if I miss one and we can't stop the other team, which you couldn't do, so for one time, Coach Belichick said, Brady, I need you to outgun a guy that came off the bench, and he couldn't do it.
Aaron Rodgers, third, laughable.
Third. It got Nick Foles. Nick Foles sent Tom Brady $2 million because he got him paid and fooled Jacksonville and thought he could actually play. And now look at him up in Chicago, about to fool them Bear fans.
Send that to Belichick. No mercy.